mysteries. If you look at your television programs, you'll find that mysteries or detective films are very popular. And if you went to the bookshops, you'll find that mystery novels are very high on the popularity list. Because people, when they read them, they like to get into the story and see if, while they're going through all the evidence, see if they could guess who the murderer is or who's responsible for something. And you've really got to have a very good mind to be able to, with the detective, get all the facts and come to the right conclusion. Some people are very good at it. They can look at all the facts and they can say, that's the culprit. Why? And say, this, 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 and this. And there are games which children play too. You've got to guess who did what. So the human mind is very interested in mysteries. The Greek word for mystery is mysterion. It means actually a sacred secret. And God has lots of sacred secrets. Secrets he has kept from the angelic host too. Secrets which he reveals through his prophets in dreams and visions and direct instruction. Secrets of his will, what he's planning to do thousands of years into the future. Satan also has mysteries, which are quite obvious to God. But we are talking for a little while about God's foreknowledge and his secrets. All right? In Daniel chapter 2, if you look at this, you'll see the subject introduced about secrets. Now, Daniel 2 is a wonderful prophecy on King Nebuchadnezzar was given, you know, about the image. And nobody could understand this. And all the wise men of Babylon, bear in mind, Babylon itself was, the whole spiritual background of Babylon was clothed with mystery, and the chiefs and the priests were, kept everything secret. And in fact, it was called Mystery, Babylon the Great. Mystery. Everything was secret. And there's lots of societies who have secret handshakes, and secret passwords, and secret words, and secret signs. And so people know that they belong to someone, or they are part of a group, because of, they know all the secrets. Anyway, in Daniel chapter 2, we look at verse 18, and Daniel made a statement. Daniel went to the house, to his house, and he told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. And he and his fellows would not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. He said, let's pray about this. This God's got something, he's doing something, and it's a secret, and we don't understand it. And then was the secret, verse 19, revealed to Daniel in a vision. And you'll notice in verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, you know, the wise men and the astrologers, they can't tell you the secret. In verse 28, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Now this is very important, that God is actually telling the king a secret through his prophet. And the secret Daniel talked about, verse 30, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom. I'm not sort of some great brain, and I can unravel it, and because of sheer inherent intelligence, I can sort of figure out what you're dreaming. This secret is not revealed that way. This is a God in heaven who has a secret, and he's revealing it to you. And he's revealing it, you know, through this interpretation he's given me. So that's what Daniel said. There's a God in heaven who is revealing secrets. In verse 47, the king answered unto Daniel, said, of a truth, your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and, here it is, a revealer of secrets. So the king came to the conclusion that this God of Daniel's, God of Israel, totally different. He not only speaks the truth, but he can tell you secrets. He's a revealer of secrets. There's a very important verse in the Bible which I hold very dearly. It's in Amos chapter 3 verse 7. It says this, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets to the servants, his servants, the prophets." So there are certain things which God has, secrets, which he tells only specific people in the Bible, and they have put them down. They have written all these secrets. Now, to know a secret, it's like knowing a password when you get in a computer, or having a special mental key. You see, we carry around these keys, and to get into a room or a locker or something, you've got to turn the key. If you don't have that, you can't get it and get in. And to know a secret is having a mental key, it's having a mental password, it's knowing something, and that knowledge, as you've seen on the news and television of late, knowledge is power. Information is power. Far more power than money. And God has that information, and he's given it to his prophets, these secrets, and they pass it on to us. Now, if you know these secrets, you have power. You're far more powerful than the person who's got money in the bank is living in the mental dark. I'm going to talk about a few secrets, right, which you already know. There are secrets about the kingdom. These secrets were kept hidden from the days of creation. And when Christ came to preach, he preached and he explained these secrets. Things hidden from the creation of the world. It says in Matthew 13, he spoke to them in parables, right? All these things Jesus spoke unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them. He used an illustration, a parable, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. In other words, Christ was trying to explain things with parables which had never been known before. Some people say that Christ spoke in parables to confuse people and keep them in the dark. That's nonsense. He used parables to explain things that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And they came to him in the next verse and said, tell us about, declare unto us the parable of the tares. And he explained it to them. Some people heard parables and they thought, what's this fellow talking about? It's all mysterious nonsense. He keeps on talking about strange things and fish and nets and birds and sheep, lilies in the field and all. You know, it's all airy fairy nonsense. And they didn't understand, they weren't interested. But the apostles and those other believers who listened said, what exactly did you mean by that? And then he would explain it. Oh, I see, I get the point. That's good. That's a marvelous thing. That's a marvelous way of saying it. This Satan's like a roaring lion. Oh, get the point. So Christ is explaining the secrets of the kingdom which had never been known since the creation of the world. And we know those secrets. People of the world don't know those secrets. They don't know a kingdom's coming. They think we're going to go on every year voting for Labour or Tory or SNP or something. They think we're just going to carry on. They have no idea the kingdom is so close. They don't know what it is. They don't know how close it is. They don't know how to get into it. They don't know who will be excluded from it. They don't know what makes it possible to get in. They don't know the laws of the kingdom. They don't know who the king is. They don't know how it'll be run. They don't know who will be in charge. They have no idea about the things of the kingdom. Christian church knows that. Knows the secrets kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's one secret. There's another secret about Israel's blindness. Isaiah couldn't understand that. Can't understand how blind they're going to be. In Romans chapter 11, verse 25, Paul said, God blinded them. So I'm going to tell you a secret. It says in verse 8, as for the rest, they were blinded, verse 7. According as it was written, God had given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they would not hear. They were not keen, they were not interested, they didn't really appreciate what God was trying to do. So he said, okay, I'll blame them. That act of saying, okay, you don't want to know, I'll make sure you don't know, I'll blame you, and I'll teach these other folks. And that act of God was a secret. They didn't even know what was happening. They didn't know that he had blinded them for a period of time and said, let the Gentiles, give it to the Gentiles for a period of time. It says here, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that you should not be ignorant of this mystery. That's another word for secret, mysterion. Lest you be wise in your own conceits. He's writing to Romans. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So here's a mystery. Here's a secret. They can't see because they're blind. Why are they blind? Because they didn't want to know. Who blinded them? God blinded them. I'm going to let you. That's a secret. In Ephesians chapter 3, talking about the welcoming or the Gentile acceptance, it says this in verse 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me unto you word, how that by revelation, here it is, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when we read we may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And here it is, I'll go to verse... I'll read verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy prophets by the Spirit. Here is the mystery. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. In other words, I'm telling you something that's been hidden for a long time. In the other ages, it was not made known to the sons of men. And this is it, that the Gentiles one day would come into the church. They didn't know that. That was a mystery which God had planned. Here's another thing which people don't understand. And you hear them talking in the streets and when you talk to them. And they say this, I can't understand what's happening in the world. Everything's going wrong. There's so much trouble. Just something is terribly wrong. There's so much violence, there's so much lawlessness, there's so much evil, and it's getting worse and worse. People can't understand that. Paul calls it the mystery or secret of lawlessness. In other words, inside information will tell you why that's happening, who's behind it all. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul's talking here in verse 7. For the mystery, and here it is, the same word, mysterion. For the mystery or secret of iniquity is already at work. Only he who now letteth will let. In other words, the Holy Spirit is tolerating it. Until he be taken out of the way. When the Holy Spirit's taken out of the way, then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. In other words, this awful rise in wickedness and evil and iniquity and rebellion, which everybody is concerned about, confused about, they have no idea why it's getting worse and what to do about it. Last week we heard that the crime rate is jumping up. In fact, there was a survey taken in America about crime and on rape. And believe it or not, 60% of the people said it was okay. Nothing wrong with it. A girl agreed to go out with a boy and he spent some money on her. It was quite all right if she was raped. 60% of the young in America said that. And when they questioned the young fellows, they said, well,
How much do you call a fair amount of money? It was between 5 and 10 pounds. And many of the girls agreed. That's right. If they had spent up to 10 pounds on taking them out, they deserved to be raped. The shock the adults the survey did. So crime and sin and violence is such an is on the increase to such an extent as frightening the authorities. Who's behind it? I'll let you know the mystery of iniquity is at work. And when the Holy Spirit is withdrawn either from a society, then in comes another spirit. You know, in the natural world, in physics, you can't have a vacuum. Okay? The minute you take something out, something else comes in or collapses. So the minute you withdraw air from someplace, some other force or element will come in. And the minute the Holy Spirit's taken out of an area, another spirit will come in. And right now, the spirit of evil is coming in because the Spirit of God is being withdrawn from the sons of men. And this spirit of wickedness and rebellion and lawlessness is coming in. And don't get worried, because Paul is saying, I'm going to tell you about this mystery. That's what's happening. That's what's behind the scenes. He's going to be destroyed at the coming of Christ. There's another mystery in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Everybody expects, well, we're all going to die. And that's the end. But Paul says, I want to tell you about another mystery. And he says here in verse 51, 1 Corinthians 51, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. I'm going to tell you a secret. We shall not all sleep. In other words, the whole Christian church is not going to die. There's going to be some left alive right till the time of Christ. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. The ones who died will be raised, and the ones who stayed alive right to the coming of the Lord will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpets will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, as the living, shall be changed. So that's a mystery. That's a secret. Very few people know that. We know it. But you go and ask people, say, well, do you think everybody's going to die? And they'll say, yes, sooner or later we'll all die. No doubt about that. Well, they're wrong. Because we're not all going to die. Paul said so. I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. If Christ doesn't come for 100 years, yes, we will all be dead. But not all mankind, not all in the church, because there'll be some still alive when the Savior returns. Now, I'd like to go to Romans chapter 16, if you can turn to this verse. And here's the purpose of some mysteries. I'm going to read from verse 24, Romans 16, verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now he's talking about something. He's talking about a mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to us, to all nations. So this is a secret, kept quiet and secret from creation, made known to the apostles, to all nations, here it is, for the obedience of faith. In other words, the mystery of the gospel or the mystery of salvation is all for one purpose. It was not only just blind people and give somebody else a chance, but to win Gentiles. Not just to win Gentiles, The mystery was not just to raise people from the grave and keep some alive. That's only a step towards the ultimate goal. The mystery is not just tell them about the kingdom and all the details which nobody has known since creation. That's not, that's just leading up to the main purpose of the whole thing. The mystery is that is made known to all men, that the Gentiles would be heirs along with Israel for the obedience of the faith. God's mysterious purpose and everything he's doing is for the salvation of Jews and Gentiles so that they might express their faith in obedience. God's made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. Now, faith is not just something in the head and you just think about it and mentally accept it. No. It's the obedience of the faith, that you express what you believe in some action that God approves. And the purpose of all mysteries, and the purpose of all revelations, and the purpose of all passwords, as it were, and the purpose which God passed out all his secrets to the prophets for the church, through the apostles, for our, all of us. The purpose of telling us all those secrets is that we may be obedient to the faith. So when you talk about secrets, bear in mind, these spiritual secrets that we know are not just mental passwords, you know, sort of keys which you have. See, you know, I know this, I know the answer. Here it is. I'll give you the mental answer and that's it, you can open that door. What's the point of opening the door? What's the point of getting into the program? What for? It's for a purpose of obedience. And Daniel chapter 12 sums that up very well. I'd like to close with this reading which David read. Daniel 12. Bear in mind, in the book of Daniel, God is called a revealer of secrets. And he told them the history of the world so that everyone might know what he's doing with nations, how eventually the kingdom is going to come. All the parables of Jesus about the kingdom, which use symbols and parabolic language, all for the purpose of explaining what the kingdom is and people to get into the kingdom. All the hidden sort of mysteries of God, where he blinded Israel and let the Gentiles come in, all for the purpose of bringing them into the kingdom. Why? And this is important. That we might be obedient to the faith. And here in Daniel 12, it says here, many will sleep in the dust, right? And they that be wise, verse 3, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many from to righteousness, that's another word for obedience. Those that turn many to righteousness will shine like stars forever and ever. So, I lay before every Christian this important responsibility. You have been given secrets which angels didn't understand. I sometimes feel so small and insignificant, and I'm not saying this in a sort of supercilious, put-on humility. I look at myself, I look at you all, and I say, why should God tell us? We're so ignorant and so stupid and so small and so... And in no way can I assess myself and all of you all, I put you all in, don't get angry by me doing this, into the same group. And I say, why should we be given this information when in no way are we better than other people? The only thing I could see which we could qualify in any way above others is because we're interested. That's the only thing I could say about myself when I say, well, why do you think you understood this and somebody else didn't? Why? You're not smarter. You don't have a better brain. You're not better educated. You're not richer and have some talents which they don't have. But there's one thing you do have, and that's interest. That's the only thing you can really say honestly, is you are more interested in that than they are. And that's why you were told. And if you're not interested, what do you think God does? Just sit back and say, well, it's a pity this chap's not interested. What do you think he did with his own people, Israel, when they weren't interested? He offered them enormous, eternal secrets. And they weren't interested. What do you think he did? He blinded them. He says, if you're not interested, I'll blind you. You won't see. If you don't want to see, I'll make sure you can't see. That's a frightening thing. But the God of Israel works for that. And we've got to remember, we're dealing with an extremely lovable, nice person. But you can't fool around with him. When he tells you a secret, it's for a purpose. And if you're not interested, he blinds you. Because he wanted you to know the secret, so that you would obey and tell others, so that they, it says, many would turn others to righteousness. So he wants you to shine like a star. But if you're not interested, you become a blackout. He just blacks you out. And you become one of those stars like in the universe, black holes. There are some stars that just dead. They don't radiate any light at all. They've just gone out. And that's the fearsome choice. Daniel, you shut up the book. You're not going to understand this. But it'll be understood at the end. Many will run to and fro. Knowledge in this book will increase. It's increased right now. And Daniel asked a few questions. How long is this going to be? What's going to happen? Don't worry. You're not going to be alive at this stage. And then he said a nice statement, which I like particularly. Many shall be purified, verse 10, and be made white and tried. But the wicked, they will do wickedly. None of the wicked will understand. So understanding, spiritual perception, knowing what God is doing, is dependent on behavior. That's all it is. It does not depend on mental intelligence or a sharp mind or profit or money or certificates or ability to speak or write. It does not depend on that. Real insight into what God's doing depends on holiness. It says here, many will be purified. Oh, that's the only possible way we could understand. And made white and tried. The wicked, they shall do wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand. But the wise, they will be purified and they will understand the secrets. So God has given us great secrets, and there's a lot more to understand. Don't by any stretch of the imagination think we understand it all. I certainly don't. There's a lot of things we don't understand. There's a lot to learn, but we will learn. But that understanding depends on our life. Our holiness, our interest is a basic requirement, but our holiness will trigger off whether we understand or not. But the serious thing in it, wait, I want to remind you about this. Your interest is extremely important. Here's a small group, a tiny little village in Scotland of so little importance. I tend to think, well, this is just ordinary stuff. But I tell you, this is vitally important, not just to you all here, but to the many, many who hear later on. Vitally important. Your interest in the gospel, or as the Bible calls it, the love of the truth. Many people know the truth, but they didn't love it. They weren't really into it. They weren't really interested. And then God blinded them. And that's a serious thing. And I present you that message today. There are interests, secrets which the angels want to know. There are secrets which the prophets wanted to know. They couldn't understand them. They asked, what does it mean? Tell me, I'm interested. And the angel said, write it down. It's not for you. It's a secret. It's a mystery. Just write it down. You're going to understand this right at the end of time. Many will understand it, but they'll first be purified. They will understand. And they will teach others. And they'll shine like the stars in the sky for all time. The wicked, they haven't a clue what's going on. None of the wicked will understand. Why didn't they? Are they stupid? They're no more stupid than I. It's just that they're not interested. They're not interested in what God's doing. They're not interested in what God wants them to do. They're only interested in doing their own thing. And therefore, they're made blind. They walk around in the dark. They don't know what's happening. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to happen in the world. They don't know what's going to happen to them. They don't know. And one day when they do find out, they'll realize with a terrifying shock, my, what a tragedy. But to us, who have been given the secrets, eternal secrets, angels would give, I was going to say give their right arms, but that's not right. Angels would have given a lot to understand what we are being told. Angels. Daniel would have longed to understand certain things. It wasn't told him. It's told us that God is going to bring in the Gentiles. God is going to keep some people alive right through to the time of Christ's return. That the rise of evil was all because of the rise and the withdrawal of the Holy Spirit and the incoming of the beast. And that he will be put down. And that the purpose of all information, here is, the purpose of all information is that you might be righteous. That you might express your faith in obedience. That's the purpose of information. It's not just some little mental baggage which is very beautiful and you can be proud of. You say, oh, I'm a smart chap, you know, I understand everything. That's not the purpose. The purpose of information and God's secrets is that we might be obedient people. Let us try to do so and be just that. Father in heaven, we are grateful for thy word. You realize the high calling we have received, the enormous truths that thou hast revealed to us. Grant that we may be worthy of them and that we may present them to the world, not only in writing or in words, but in deeds. We pray that thy presence will always be with us, that thou wilt be pleased at our performance, that each one will rise up and realize the responsibilities that each one has to do this work. We ask these mercies in the Savior's holy name. Amen.